No, not right now.
Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host this afternoon. This is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone from the music world. My guest today is John Graveside of the prog metal band By Blood Alone. John, it's great to talk to you.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on the show. It's great to be here.
I think the best way to start this interview would be by taking a quick musical interlude. You have a new CD out, Seas of Blood. Do I have the name right?
You do have it right.
Okay, and I do believe that the title track is Seas of Blood. Do you think we should give that one a whirl?
Give it a whirl.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have to admit that I'm still confused as to why you would be labeled prog metal, you know, when I listen to that track. But I'm going to come back to that. Who else is in the band, and what do you all play?
Okay, well, there's me. I play guitar. There is Cruella. She's the vocalist. We have Jack Doran on bass, Jenny Williamson on keyboards, and our drummer is named Runt.
Runt.
Which apparently is an old nickname he got from his older brothers when he was smaller than they are, and now he's bigger than they are. So I think it's a family in-joke that just kind of stuck on him.
Well, I can honestly say that you folks create just the best sound.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
No, I am very, very impressed. I don't think we've talked before.
No.
I got the a copy of your CD, and I'm one of those nasty people that, you know, likes to read the sleeve notes and stuff. And your name is John Graveside. I mean, and I saw prog metal, and I went, oh my, you know, this must be a stage name. Is it a stage name?
Yes, it is a stage name. Although I will admit that John is really my middle name, so it's not that much of a stretch. My real name, which is not a secret, is Rowan, which is where you're from, is a perfectly normal name. But here in America, for some reason, nobody can pronounce it or spell it. So I've gotten tired of that. They all think it's a fake Muslim name. Like, telemarketers will call up and think my name's Rowan.
Well, my name's Simon, and you'd be amazed at the number of ways that can be pronounced.
Yeah, see, you know how it is. And probably that happens all the time in America, doesn't it? Not in Britain.
Right. You know, in Britain, if you see S-I-M-O-N, they go, oh, it's Simon.
Simon, yeah. Very normal name there. But
yeah, for a while I lived in Canada, and they assumed that it was Simone.
Yeah, that would make sense, yeah.
So how long have you folks been playing together?
We just passed back in October, we passed the 5th anniversary of our first show, but our drummer has only been with us for a little over 4 years. His first show with us was about a year after our first show period. So about 5 years.
I'm as guilty as the next person. In fact, I'm probably worse because, you know, I'm a reviewer. I want to put labels on things. The PR folks call by blood alone prog metal. Is that how you see yourselves?
Well, sort of and sort of not. In one way, it's basically the closest thing that they can label us. It's you know, the best they can come up with. And at the same time, I like to think that I like to think that we make our own definition of what prog metal is. You know, it's funny, when reviewers, it's very common for reviewers to say in their review, well, the promo material says it's progressive metal, but I really think it's whatever. And everybody says that their whatever is something different. You know, some person says, it's really gothic metal. And another person says, it's not gothic metal, it's progressive rock. And other people say, it's symphonic progressive rock. And then other people say it's, you know, traditional metal. And I think it's interesting that everybody can sort of interpret it the way they want to, but at the same time, they're so adamant about what their idea is. They all say, no, it's not that. It's this way. I know best. It's kind of amusing to read it.
How do you actually view yourselves?
I would say we are progressive in that we don't sound like anybody else, and we try not to be limited by song structure. The CD that you have now is actually not new. We're working on our next one, and the one that you have actually has some of our earlier material on it that was a little more conventional in terms of structure, all those, you know, songs that are a little on the shorter side. But these songs have actually gotten longer now. They're all in the neighborhood of 9 or 10 minutes. And just sort of kind of traditional song structure is being defined as much as it can without completely breaking it apart. And then it just sort of becomes soundtrack music, I guess. So, you know, I like to think of it as progressive. And it definitely has like I definitely think it has a gothic flavor. It's definitely dark, even though hardline goth audiences would not say, that's not gothic. It doesn't sound like Sisters of Mercy or something like that. They tend to be very orthodox. They're extremely rigid. If it doesn't make them think of Band X, that's not part of my scene.
I can't remember who it was that I interviewed, but it was someone that's quite well known in the prog rock world. And I asked him, you know, what makes you prog? And his answer was, well, nothing in particular. You just have to think outside the box. Anything that doesn't fit in the, 3-minute traditional radio segment is prog.
I would agree with that. I would absolutely agree. So, you know, that means Dream Theater is prog, but also the Minutemen and early Devo are prog because they just don't fit into that format. So whoever that was, I agree with them. I would also say that if you are able to say what is prog and what isn't prog, that means that it isn't prog because it's already conforming to an existing style. And there's no progression has happened.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I think this would be a perfect time to take another musical exploration. And again, I'm going to sample from Seas of Blood. How does Serpentarius grab you?
That is a perfectly fine choice.
Okay.
What's that song?
you know, the more I listen to this album, the more firmly I convince that you're not prog metal, you're prog rock.
Okay.
In fact, I'll tell you who you remind me of. Neo, Pendragon, and the Oliver Wakeman band.
Like son of Rick Wakeman?
Yes, the very same.
Interesting.
Yeah. You should seek them out.
I wonder if Oliver Wakeman's about my age. Maybe he.
Yes.
Well,
how old are you?
I'm 42.
I do believe Oliver's a little younger than you.
Yeah, maybe 35. Because probably Rick Wakeman's probably about 60, early 60s, maybe. Does that sound right?
Yeah. I've interviewed both of them, and that they are really, really interesting characters.
I bet.
Oh, they are. The one thing that your band doesn't have is a heavy reliance on the keyboards, and both Oliver and Rick are very, very keen on the keyboards. It's what they play.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because we seem to get either damned or praised for how prominent the keyboards are in the band, because some people have said, oh, there's not enough guitar, and other people have said, oh, there's lots of keyboards. It's so nice and different. So I think it's interesting. I don't think we have showy keyboards, because we don't really play like that. You know, I have to say that there are a lot of bands out there where you'll hear right after the guitar solo, you'll hear a keyboard solo that sounds a lot like a guitar solo anyway. So I think it's kind of interesting that you interpret it that way. But I don't know. The keyboards actually are extremely important. They were the last element not the last member to join the band, because our drummer is newer, but the last instrument to join the band. And we were determined to not be limited to the traditional guitar, bass, drums, vocals, you know, cliche that is rock music. And we were saying that, you know, like, if we don't find something else, and it didn't have to be keyboards, it could have been a cellist or a flautist or you know, a violinist or something like that. We were just saying, like, you know, we didn't want to be just another rock band. So the keyboards were actually very important.
I wasn't trying to put you down in any fashion.
Oh no, I'm not thinking you were. But I just think it was an interesting interpretation. By your standards, we don't rely much on the keyboards. But it's like I was saying before about how people interpret as they see fit, which is how things really should be. Other people are think that our amount of keyboards is so refreshing, that there's so much of them.
That is interesting. I actually would like to hear a version where the keyboards played a slightly higher role. I think it would be such a wonderful interpretation of the song.
We've contemplated sort of converting our material into sort of like, for lack of a better phrase, sort of like new age version of it, where the guitar would play a very minimal role. So it'd be very based around vocals and keyboards and sort of non-rock percussion and that sort of thing. And it's something we definitely talk about, but unfortunately time never presents itself.
I understand about time.
Yeah, you know how it is. Everybody's busy.
Yep, it's the one thing that no one ever has any of.
No, never enough of it.
I'm guessing that you're very much a live band. I can feel the energy coming off the off the CD. Do you prefer the live venue to the studio situation?
Live is definitely more fun. The circumstances are not always ideal live, but it's definitely more fun. You know, it's like when you play live, you enjoy it. But when you're in the studio, it's work. You know, you've got to buckle down and get it right. Whereas live gives us the opportunity to sort of, you know, go nuts, I guess.
And a question I always like to ask people, your writing style, is there one composer in the band, or is it a collaborative process?
Okay, well, this is how it works. At present, there would be my songs and Cruella's songs. And the way it works is for my songs, I write all the music. I recorded, I create a demo in the studio, you know, using a drum machine and synths and stuff like that. And I will then hand the demo to everybody else. Cruella will write her vocal part and write all the lyrics. And the other three will sort of flesh out my idea. And there are certain parts that are very composed, and I'm very specific about what I want. And other parts, I'm just like, oh, just play whatever you want. You know, whatever that is, that's fine. And for Cruella's songs, she will write a vocal lyrics and a vocal part and a really basic accompaniment, usually on some sort of keyboard, but it's really rudimentary. And then with that bare bones arrangement, I'll help her build it into a bigger, you know, into a full arrangement. Interestingly, our drummer has just started bringing songs into the band, and we're playing one of his songs is going to we're playing on the upcoming tour, and it's going to be on the next CD. And he's brought in other songs that we haven't worked on yet. I've just heard the demos that he's done, and they're really good. So he's definitely really stepping up as a writer, which I'm thrilled with, because honestly, I write most of the material at this moment, and I'm tired of writing. I'm exhausted. I need some time away from writing to recharge.
Okay, let's do some absolutely shameless advertising. I presume you have a website, or
yeah.
5, 10 of them.
Several, yeah. Believe it or not. It's very easy. Our website is buybloodalone.com, and there you can read, all our blogs. There's links to listening to music and buying music and joining our email list, which I encourage everybody to do, because then you'll be, you know, getting periodic updates from us. And get opportunities for, you know, free song downloads and stuff like that. We try to, do nice things for the fans, you know, if nothing else, just to get them to listen to us. And then we have a MySpace page. It's myspace.com/BuyBloodAlone. MySpace is kind of dying, so there's a lot less traffic on that than there used to be. We have a Facebook page. The URL is too long to say. So if you just go to Facebook and type in Buy Blood Alone, we're the top hit. And then we're using Reverb Nation a great deal, so which is a really good resource for band promotion. So we have reverbnation.com/BuyBloodAlone. So those are our primary sites that people visit us on.
Okay, and what would be the best site to actually buy stuff?
You mean the best website? The best would be, if you want to buy a physical CD, it would be cdbaby.com. We're also on Amazon and our distributor Relapse, you know, we're on their site. The Amazon experience isn't quite as good, but so we try to encourage people to buy from CD Baby. And if you're into downloads, you can either get them from CD Baby, which is a regular MP3 file, or you can get them from iTunes, which is the Apple equivalent of an MP3 file. It'll play on your iPod. And then, you know, we're in stores, but not, you know, it's mostly if you go to a store and you ask for us, they'd say, well, we can order that for you. So online is usually the best place to get our stuff.
I understand you're about to engage on a little mini tour. Where are you going to be playing?
We are going to be, by the way, this is our second mini tour. We did the first one back in September. It had such an absolutely fantastic time that we couldn't wait to go on another one. So in a way, it's sort of a vacation where we get to play a show every night. We are playing in Thursday, April 1st. We're playing in Worcester, Massachusetts at Ralph's Diner. And we're playing Metal Thursdays, which is their twice monthly, like very narrowly defined metal night. after that, Friday, April 1st, we are playing the Fuse Box in Albany, New York, as part of the Fuse Box has this once monthly goth night. And we are the first band, so because usually the goth night is just, you know, DJs and dancing. We're the first band to play that night since 2002, I think. Something that's what the promoter told me. So we're trailblazers, bringing live bands back to the Albany Goth Night. And then Saturday, April 3rd, we are playing in New Bedford, Massachusetts, at this place called the New Wave Cafe, and we're playing with a bunch of other bands that are, I think, are more local. Well, I think we're the only touring band playing that night, and so it's just. It's, you know, in a different part of Massachusetts than Worcester is. So we're like, hey, we've never played there. It sounds like fun. The fun factor is a big part of the touring.
Well, it sounds like the message is getting out. You know, you are someone that people want to listen to.
Oh, great! I'm glad to hear it. We had a pretty good turnout. For the last tour, and we just kind of went out sort of blind, and it went really well. So this tour, we actually hired a publicist to work the various markets, and, you know, based on the feedback we've been getting, you know, and more hits on our webpage and all that, it's looking like we think the turnout's going to be pretty good.
I've avoided the subject up till now, but. I do understand that that there is a bit of an issue with Cruella. Do you want to tell us more?
Are you referring to her breast cancer?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that is actually over and done with a while ago. What happened was that, and I have to clarify that recording the Seas of Blood album, which got recorded over the course of 2007, was a miserable affair. Everything went wrong. Just absolutely every step of it was terrible and a tooth pulling. And at the time I was thinking, like, can it get any worse? Well, yes, it could, because we had a tour book to promote it, and then a month before the tour started, Cruella finds out that she has breast cancer. So we had to cancel the tour, and she had to go into chemo and lost all of her hair, and then she had to go to radiation therapy, and so it was, and, you know, we were thinking, like, oh, God, like, let's hope she lives. Apparently, breast cancer is not, nowadays, not the death sentence it used to be, so there are plenty of survivors now, and actually, my aunt, who's in her 80s, when I told her about this, she told me that she said, well, I had breast cancer 20 years ago. It was just something people of her generation didn't talk about. So it actually got her and I talking about this thing, which was really serious. But like I said, in her generation, they didn't talk about it. So the sad part was we had to cancel the tour. The good part was that she beat her cancer. That was 2 years ago. She is fine, performing great, feeling great. Life is great. And another really cool aspect of it was that the Portland music community, which is already pretty tight, really pulled together to help her. I mean, there were just people coming out of the woodwork, organizing benefit shows and collecting money and spreading the word. It was so impressive, and it was a real testament to how close-knit not just the Portland music community, but Portland in general is. Portland is a classic American small city, and it's sort of isolated because it's up here in Maine, even though it's the biggest city in Maine. And when you cross over the border into Maine, it's the first city you get to. It's still out of the way. Like, touring bands, for the most part, don't come up here. They skip it and go straight to Canada. And so, but it was really, really touching how everybody came together for that.
And
we raised a lot of money to help her out.
And Cruella is doing well now?
Yeah, she's fine. It's all in the past. So that was two, you know, she got her clean bill of health, you know, just about this time 2 years ago. And, you know, they say if it doesn't come back in the first 5 years, that the odds of it coming back at all really go down. So far so good. And, you know, everybody's feeling good about things.
I have to admit that I love her vocals. I mean, that they really add something to the songs that you have put together.
Oh, well, I'll tell her you said that. She'd be thrilled to hear it.
I know that you mentioned earlier that there is a new CD. When can we expect it?
I would say, well, it's a good question. We will be done recording and mixing and mastering it over the summer. Knock on wood. I always knock on wood now, because last time I said that, it was the big tooth pulling overseas of blood. So, and it didn't get delayed, but it didn't miss its release date, but it was getting manufactured like literally days beforehand. So it's basically, once we get done, we're going to do one of two things. We're either going to shop it, or we're just going to release it ourselves. We haven't made up our mind yet. So if we release it ourselves, it will be out sometime in the fall, I would say Halloween at the latest, knock on wood. But if we decide to shop it, it's hard to say. Then we just might, you know, put some clips up online to get feedback from people. So I would, if people are interested, I would simply go to our website, buybloodalone.com, join our email list, and then we just keep you updated as much as needed.
We're just about out of time, and I really, really do want to thank you for taking time to talk to us this afternoon.
Oh, no problem at all. Thanks for having me on. This was great.
And I also want to wish you every success.
Oh, thanks so much.
This is Simon Barrett for Blogger News Network, wishing everyone a wonderful day, and we will talk again another day. Goodbye.